think that was the title of the sermon, but it's about paradise and torment, and you did a really good job of clarifying that, which was kind of different than what I've been taught growing up. And so we've been talking, and there were some comments in Bible class, and a lot of times we say, well, they're in heaven. You know, well, you know, they're not in heaven yet, but you did a good job of explaining that. Is that asking too much right now?
No, the thing is, I was probably taught just like you were. I had the old paradigm, and that old demonstration is that you had within the Hadean realm. This is the old paradigm. Hades, they might say. And then you would have within that paradise, and you would also have, you know, this is the great goal fixed. But somehow you have a great goal fixed, and somehow you have paradise and Tartarus within that same realm. My understanding is that this is not correct. It's not Hadean realm this way, but rather, according to Scripture, we mapped out all those various Scriptures, that Tartarus would be the same as Hades. Of course, we also talked about within Scripture, Hades is used in two ways. One is a reference, it's clearly a translation of Sheol, which was a reference to the grave. But in this discussion, like we're talking about in Luke chapter 16, namely, that great gulf that is fixed, you would not have paradise, according to all that I recognize now. You don't have paradise within that concept of the Hadean realm, so that there is indeed a great goal fixed. Somehow God did allow, of course, that communication between the rich man who found himself in torments. It's mentioned torments. And the word that's used there is not Tartarus, but Hades. And so Hades then is this place of torments, which Tartarus would be what we actually find in 2 Peter chapter 2. You find, while the word is not used in 2 Peter 2, you find that parallel, Jude, I believe it's verse 6, and yet reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So we know that this is all a matter of reserved. They're reserved, reservation, reserved for judgment. Well, so then what we have is, with the judgment, you have the judgment, you're going to have the one judgment, but at the same time that you have this judgment, then it's going to be banishment to, the Greek word is Gehenna, translated properly as hell. It's unfortunate that some will translate the word Tartarus, which they'll render that in 2 Peter 2 verse 4, I believe it is, they'll render that as hell. That's not the same word. My understanding is that no being currently is in hell. I believe that the devil himself is reserved with the rest of those angels who sinned and did not keep their proper domain. They've all been reserved for judgment. I don't believe that they've already been judged in the, you know, it's going to be a sentencing. It's going to be final and ultimate. Yet so many people operate from the perspective, well, he received his sentence and he's been judged. But at the judgment, then, of course, there's going to be this welcoming into heaven. And of course, the order that usually people recognize of Matthew chapter 25 is that there's going to be the welcoming first, and then the banishment second. And yeah, all this is apparently time-wise going to happen very quickly if we put together 1 Corinthians 15 and all this. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, 1 Thessalonians 4, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of the Lord, the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the air to meet in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we will always be with the Lord. Well, time, what's what we know is time. God can accomplish so much in such a short period of what we call time, but when Jesus comes again, it appears to me time does not exist. You know, so this is my understanding, that you have this concept of Hades, which is the same as Tartarus. The rich man found himself in torments. And the angels who sinned, you could put sinning angels, the angels who sinned, I guess I should do it that way. And they're reserved. My understanding is that the devil is among them. Some people say, well, then how in the world was the devil released so that he could range to and fro on the earth? Well, Job tells us that very clearly. In Revelation, we find that the devil, you know, he was released for a little while. And so you have, that's where the devil does his work, though, is among humans, among people. And yes, he has an influence. It's not a matter of possession and demon possession. Although God did allow that, didn't he? At one and the same time, at the very same time that Christ was doing miraculous activities, it's as though God allowed that balancing of the powers. But this is a very short... I do have a picture of that, and I actually can give you a link and everything if you want that detailing, that I actually did that on an old chalkboard, and so that I have that mapped out. But that is my understanding. There's no unanimity among people in their concept on this. And
it's almost like judgment is, I mean, you know when you die where you're going to go.
I really believe that. The rich man, before he was actually judged, the judgment, he already knew his condition. And, yeah, and we know that poor Lazarus, he was taken by the angels, wasn't he? And Abraham, he knew. So, yeah, and people say, oh, so you're going to know before the judgment. Yeah, the judgment, as I see it, is just going to be a mere sentencing. It's going to be a mere sentencing. I mean, you know, if you've committed murder or whatever else, you know you're guilty. You know you're waiting for the judge to, you know, sentence you.
So it's apparent that the rich man knew Lazarus was there, so he asked him to get him.
That's right.
Tip of his tongue,
yeah.
So he can
cool my heart. Right. Yeah.
So that was a recognition.
Right. So, and it's called Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom, and this is where the poor. And notice that the poor who is actually rich, the rich who is actually poor. And isn't that interesting? If we put that with Matthew chapter 5, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit. Yes, Roy.
Under Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
Which they hold as a temporary place of punishment.
Mm-hmm.
You can go in paradise after you serve your time.
Yeah, especially if somebody pays enough money or whatever else gets you out. You know, get out of purgatory in essence free, but it does come at a bit of a cost.
Maybe the purgatory is actually
Hades. Yeah, they've got a really weird concept. My understanding of their concept of purgatory is very closely akin to the pagan concept. Very closely akin, and I don't know all the ins and outs. Those of you who've studied Catholicism more, it seems like it's, and just some of my discussion, it's a bit nebulous even at that. And then they believe about different levels, and so, but yeah. Okay. All right. No, that's okay. That's okay. Our time's gone, and Lord willing, we'll come back and discuss more things like this. Thank you.